7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. How's it going today? Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. NFL draft tonight. Got some predictions on that today. Do the Broncos stay at 12? Do they trade up? Do they trade back? Do they take a quarterback? What do you think they're going to do?
A lot of questions, man.
Reaction now.
We want to hear from you
on the text line. 970-242-1340. Yeah. Imagine if you had to do the show that way all the time.
Oh, geez.
Exhausting. I don't know how guys that do that do that.
I don't know how the voice guys do that. It just seems so exhausting to have to put on the shtick all the time.
Like our guy Jim Kettler that does our imaging.
Like he doesn't do a show.
He does. Right? That's all he does.
But that's all he does. It's a little different in my mind, I guess.
Because you can do it in spurts.
Yeah.
Though he is.
You paid handsomely. He's very busy. Very in demand.
Extremely talented guy. Incredible voice guy.
But he doesn't have to do the 3-hour show, 4-hour show. With the voice.
Well, it's like Chris Russo. I don't know how Chris Russo does that.
I don't either. Like he has to be dead silent throughout the rest of his life, which is honestly his family's lucking out at that point.
I can't believe the Mets. No offense. The Mets are just killing me.
Yeah. I get that yelling about baseball teams in April. I understand.
Sure,
that.
But just.
Yeah. Just the volume. The amplitude.
I didn't get enough mayo on my sandwich.
Right. Where's the pickle?
Where's the pickle?
I ordered extra pickle.
This is a travesty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just can't imagine doing that. Anyway. Got a busy show.
A little bit.
Dial the pipes back a little bit because it's 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-hour tour.
Yep.
Monday through Friday. So Mark Johnson is going to join us in a little bit. I'm assuming they're going to have enough players for the spring game coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, maybe.
They're sticking around in Boulder.
We'll find out.
Dylan Edwards gone. Cormani McClain gone. So we'll talk with Mark about that. And also about the addition of Trevor Baskin. I don't know if Mark's actually talked to Trevor. I would probably think not since Trevor just
made his decision.
Yeah. So, though, did you see the picture of Trevor in his CU uniform?
I saw it on Twitter, yeah.
That looked good. Once again, it's bittersweet.
Yep.
It's tough. We enjoyed talking to him on Monday. We're going to take him up on giving him an occasional text and, hey, can you come on the show for a few minutes?
Talk to him. Famous last words.
Yeah. Like Scott Hastings, who I'm going to reach out to him next week.
Mm-hmm. Scotty.
So
no better than that. You're in radio. No better than saying like, yeah, whatever.
Well, you
no better.
You
than
haven't
that.
Called me. You haven't texted me in forever. Do you really want to say that? Are you saying that to be nice?
Here we go.
Because you just said it.
Yep.
And it went over the air and it got recorded. And so
guess who's on the show every 4 days now?
Which reminds me, I need to probably see if Connor wants to come on tomorrow for a few minutes.
Maybe.
He's back in country and everything.
Yeah, we'll dial him up. Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, you won't be here tomorrow.
No, I won't.
Cake's a busy boy. He's busy. He's got a lot going on. Yeah. With Libby out of town.
Definitely tired, Franzen.
Very much so. And he was trying to help us, as you were as well, work through some of our technical problems last night. That was fun. Now, Palisade, nice win against Rifle. Now 36 straight Western Slope League victories. Holy crow. That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Quite a bit.
They had a rough first inning. Of course, so did we. Then everybody got their stuff together, and Palisade goes on for the win last night. So, anyway, your predictions on the draft tonight, Nuggets-Lakers, Game 3. Is this where the gentleman's sweep happens, where the Nuggets, this is the one where they lose? Or do they jump out 3-0?
It just feels the way that the first two games have gone, that the Lakers probably feel snake bit.
They do. They feel like we had a 12-point lead, had a 20-point lead on the road, couldn't finish either one. And then we're due here. I kind of feel that way about tonight. But this Nuggets team is, if they get behind, I like their chances.
Yeah.
They're going to lead, I'm concerned.
That's what I mean. I'm still going to say gentleman sweep, but I don't know if the Lakers have that confidence that they can get a game because they've been up pretty nicely in both games before and are down 0-2.
Yeah, and despite their best efforts, Nuggets have battled back.
Yeah.
And it's almost there's almost a feeling, too, as much as you and I both think it'll be a gentleman's sweep, that the Lakers lost their chance at this series in game two.
That's kind of what I was trying to, you know, I feel that they took their best swing and now they're kind of on the ropes to drive home the boxing pun.
True. 20-point third quarter lead. Jamal Murray's shooting like hot garbage.
Mm-hmm. And you get punked. If you're the Lakers, you got straight up punked in Denver on Monday night.
Yeah. On a couple of mid-range jumpers from Jamal Murray. With Anthony Davis on him on that final one. Pretty good defender in Anthony Davis.
Like, and it was pretty good D on those shots to begin with.
Absolutely. Yeah, both shots were tough shots by the Blue Arrow. So if you got some predictions on that, Rockies lose again.
And naturally.
To Matt Waldron, the knuckleballer for the Padres, who apparently altitude, not a problem for him. Threw the knuckle pretty effectively last night.
Yeah, he did.
So
that pitch still plays, you know.
Still does. And Rockies Padres today on the team, pregame at 12:30 for that one. Nuggets Lakers, 7:30 tonight. And then sandwiched in there at 6 o'clock, because our priority is to bring Nuggets playoff basketball to you. We will have some draft coverage, though, thanks to our friends at 850 KOA. We will bring you draft coverage.
Nice.
In case the Broncos decide to move up, we will have coverage at 6 o'clock up until about 7:20 tonight before Nuggets Lakers. So there will be some draft coverage. We'll see what happens if the Broncos do indeed try to move up in the first round.
Got a lot of, all right, look, coming up tonight.
Oh, a lot of that. You know, look.
Look. Right? Look. You know.
Look, when.
Look, right?
When we saw him at his workout, look, we liked what we saw from him.
He gets all the, he runs all the plays. He runs all the routes, right?
I was a little concerned when Jared Bednar started dropping some rights the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, is Bud rubbing off on him?
It's like, oh, here it comes. Everybody in town's doing it.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Malone, thank goodness, does not have crutch words that he uses.
He's got crutch. We need to play better defensively.
It's crutch statements.
Not crutch words.
It's crutch statements. Yeah. It's this is something that he brings up every single time, or feels like every single time. All right, Andy, in the door bright and early today. Andy, draft day. Will they screw it up? Hopefully take a quarterback. Let us hope, Andy. Let us hope. All right, so predictions on the draft tonight. Do the Broncos trade up? Do they trade back? I think they trade back.
Yeah.
I think they feel like Bo Nix might drop in the draft. I could see that happening where they try to get a second round pick, try to add some depth in this draft in terms of number of picks. We shall see. But by the way, we also caught this yesterday. Some of you have not been getting your texts read. Some because we've been ignoring you. But
there's some of you that is happening. No, I'm just kidding.
Unbeknownst to us,
yes,
our text system had unsubscribed or
was booting you out.
Was kicking you out. We think we fixed that problem.
Yeah.
For folks like Jason who texted in, who were like, well, yeah, we didn't even know that Jason had been trying to text in. He had to.
Thanks to Ruben, our guy Ruben.
Thank you, Ruben.
He called after the show. He's like, hey, guys, did I do? Am I on the list? What happened here? I'm, of course, you know, me, just kind of relatively clueless, just like,
What do you mean?
What are you talking about? We went and looked, and it's like,
that's...
Apparently, there's, you know, those keywords will get you.
Well, and here's the thing we found, which is kind of ridiculous, that you could text in, the Broncos need to stop blah, 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 and not have it be in caps, and our text system will go, it said put stop in it.
Stop. You got it. And it stops everything.
We hope, hopefully we fix the problem.
Yeah.
We hope. Not a guarantee, because it's beyond our pay grade, but we've been given certain assurances that that problem has been resolved. All right. So a lot to get to. Your thoughts on the Nuggets. Is this the one they lose in a gentleman's sweep? Or is it just feeling right now where the Lakers threw their best punches game one, but most notably game two. And now Denver's got them right where they want them. Up two games to none.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it feels for me.
Also, your predictions on the draft tonight as well. Text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340. It's time for...
What's happening?
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal. Helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. They support and secure your business technology consistently and professionally. IT services to meet your business needs. PC and server support, business phone systems, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, backup and disaster recovery. ComWest is serious about your business's IT services and support. And for the past 20 years, they have remained dedicated to providing business owners with the right technology solutions and services. They service the entire Western Slope. Let them help you today. ComWest, 970-242-8142. Go to comwestcorp.com. Denver Nuggets look to grab a 3-0 lead on the LA Lakers tonight. As the series shifts to Crypto.com Arena, the Nuggets have rallied from a 12-point deficit in Game 1 and a 20-point third-quarter deficit in Game 2 to grab a 2-0 series lead.
Our goal is to go out there and win a first quarter, be up at halftime. You know, we're not going to have the luxury of having the best fans in the NBA behind us in the second half comeback as we had in Game 1 and Game 2. So there's a lot of things that we can improve upon.
Denver coach Mike Malone, I love the way he butters the fans' bread.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I do.
It was smooth, too. It's like he just drops that right in there.
How can we do this without the best fans in the NBA? I don't know. We're going to have to find a way to do it tonight. Pre-game starts at 7:30 tonight on the Team Sports Network. Colorado Rockies are 6-19 after losing to San Diego 5-2 last night at Coors Field. Padres knuckleballer Matt Waldron was outstanding, going 6 innings and gave up 1 run on 4 hits with 5 strikeouts in his first trip to Coors Field. The Rockies have yet to win back-to-back games this season. Colorado catcher Elias Diaz hit a 2-run home run to lead the Rockies' bats. Final game of the series is today on the team with pregame at 12:30, first pitch at 1:10. Denver Broncos are the 12th overall pick in the draft tonight. What will they do with it? It's a complete mystery. Will they trade up, trade down, stay at 12? And with their pick, will this team still be in the market for a quarterback even after trading for Zach Wilson? Mile High Sports' Cody Rourke shared his thoughts on who the Broncos should take at signal caller in the first round.
JJ's a guy who can stand in the pocket. He can hit the middle routes to the rate in which Sean Payton wants. He's a high-level processor. Same thing with Bo Nix, to be honest with you. I think I would be between Bo Nix and JJ McCarthy. I'm not sold on Michael Penix Jr. being a good fit for the Broncos. I don't even think being a first-round quarterback.
Once again, we'll have coverage tonight starting at 6 o'clock up until 7:20 of the first round of the NFL draft. And, of course, you can catch Broncos football this season right here on the team. Grand Junction Jackalopes baseball team officially, they have a new owner after running the team as the operating owner for future legends. Mike Tolan has bought the team and will be the official owner. It'll be the club's third different owner since August of 2022. GJC LLC originally owned and operated the Grand Junction Rockies, an affiliate arm of the Colorado Rockies, before selling to future legends in the summer of 2022. Future Legends has now also sold the renamed Jackalopes to Mike Tolan, an executive producer of the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance. Palisade baseball team extended their winning streak in the Western Slope League to 36 straight after a 10-4 win over Rifle Wednesday night. After 3 Bulldog errors in the top of the first gave Rifle an early 4-0 lead, Palisade starting pitcher Garrett Draper settled in, striking out 6 over 6 innings of work. After the game, head coach Nate Porter said he simply put his foot down to get the boys back to playing Bulldog baseball.
Garrett was throwing strikes. I think we had, 2 fielding errors, 2 throwing errors in the first inning. And when they came in, I just said, no more. That's it. We're done for the day. And no, we're not playing sloppy baseball anymore. Go back to Bulldog baseball. And I think we played clean ball after that.
Palisade improves to 14-4-1 overall in the season, 9-0 in league. They have a week off before taking on Coleridge next Thursday at Palisade High School. That will also be senior day for the Bulldogs. Central Warriors have a pair of new coaches as the vacancies of the top of the boys' tennis and girls' basketball teams have been filled. First in the hardwood, former Grand Junction Tiger standout Raisha Ritter, now Raisha Kerstatter, has been tabbed to replace Mary Doan. Ritter played at Colorado State and in Australia before coaching locally with the Grand Junction Blackout Club program and at Palisade High School on the tennis court. The Warriors hired Jordan Morrow as the new boys' tennis coach. Jordan played prep tennis in Florida before moving on to Florida State. She also helped coach prep volleyball in Florida as well. And that's a look at
what's happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If you need IT help today, call ComWest, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, we'll take a break. Other side of the break, we'll talk Buff spring football. And you can hear that game this Saturday, by the way, at 1 o'clock on the Team Sports Network. Voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, will join us next. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. It's time to talk Buffs with CU voice Mark Johnson on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
With us right now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Jim, good to be on with you.
Always great to chat with you. Of course, all the spring game this Saturday, 1 o'clock, right here on the Team Sports Network. But for you, Mark, it's a little bit slower time of the year for you, but still getting ready for that spring game. Before we talk about that, though, we need to bring up Trevor Baskin, who played here in Grand Junction, Colorado Mesa University, who has signed with Tad Boyle to play for the Buffaloes. Yeah, like I texted you the other day, getting a really good young man and a heck of a talented basketball player in Trevor Baskin.
Well, you know, I've got kind of mixed emotions about things because it's obviously we know what kind of player he is. You just attested to that. And it's great to see him coming to the Buffaloes. I hate to see him leaving where he had such great success, but that's part of college basketball right now. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, a local kid who has turned into a heck of a basketball player. Tad's been in need, and so you find a what is he, 6'8", 6'9", and a highly skilled kid. So I'm looking forward to seeing him wearing the black and gold.
Yeah, I think probably a good comp is Tristan Da Silva. Kind of the way Trevor plays is, I think, kind of comparable to what we saw with Tristan.
Yeah, I think, you know, from what I've seen, I've just seen a few highlights at this point. And I went, when I saw that he was coming this direction, I went and looked him up and saw some, you know, highlight reels on YouTube. And he looks like a very skilled guy. And you know, if you're going to put him in the category of Tristan, that's some pretty high praise. And so I can't wait to see him, you know, get there. Jim, it's just interesting what's going on with college sports right now. And I was on a show in New York yesterday, and they called me about a couple of Colorado guys going to Syracuse. And so they called to talk to me about that. And I said, you know, I love the games right now. I'm not a big fan of the sport right now. And it's crazy what's going on, but it's where we're at. And we'll see where it goes from here, I guess.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And like you said, if Trevor's going to go someplace, at least I'm glad he's going someplace where it's part of the Colorado family with going over to play for the Buffs. And of course, you get a chance to call his games. I'm thrilled for him. Like I said, it's very bittersweet because we hate to lose a player of his talent here at Colorado Mesa, but certainly.
Well, that's the problem with all of this, and that's what bothers me, is that, you know, you see programs that you know, maybe at a lower level, so guys are trying to jump up, and they have a great player, and they see him develop, they see him mature and grow up, and then when you get to the very end of it, you're going to see the best basketball, all of a sudden they jump and go someplace else. And that's just it bothers me on a number of different fronts. And maybe I'm naive, and maybe I'm, you know, yearning too much for days gone by, but it doesn't seem right. And I'm not opposed to anybody trying to better themselves. That's not what this is about. But there is loyalties that do come, from growth and from time and from support. And sometimes I get a little melancholy thinking about that kind of thing, because, you know, they're great players, are fun to watch, and fans watch them grow up, and you should get to see that come to fruition. And that's not the case we see in college basketball anymore.
Yeah, I think the one concern that I hear from coaches at the D2 level is that D2 is now, Mark, becoming JUCO. It's becoming like a junior college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you can say that about low-level Division Ones as well.
Very true.
You know, here you as a staff, you go out and you're trying to evaluate, you're projecting, and so you see a kid and you say, okay, boy, he might be raw right now, and he's going to grow a little bit. He's going to get stronger, we think. And then you develop him to what you thought he could be, and then bam, it's gone. And now you're left on the back end of that, trying to fill that hole and figure things out again. And it's just, and so it's, you know, that old line we've all heard: the rich keep getting richer. Well, what they're doing now, these bigger programs, to go down and plucking these guys, and it's, you know, the kids are jumping to the portal. I mean, they're not going out and stealing them. They're jumping in the portal looking for opportunity. And so it's a sad state of affairs in college athletics right now that I struggle greatly with. And you know, and then I get a kick out of, you know, you see, you bring guys in and you go, okay, these guys are great. And the next year they transfer out, and then you talk about, they didn't want to be part of this. And you're like, well, what's going on here, man? Well, what's the truth of all of this? And it's hard to tell.
Well, very true. And for Colorado, certainly the transfer of Dylan Edwards, who last year, I thought had a really good start to the season, tremendous receiving running back. The yardage wasn't great, but then Colorado was not a great running football team, but he had great skill. Dylan Edwards hitting the transfer portal, and then they do get a replacement in Dallin Hayden, the running back from Ohio State. But you know, Dylan Edwards, just a few days ago, Coach Prime's talking about, boy, we want to get the ball in his hands more here in 2024. We have big plans for him. Well, those plans are now out the window because Dylan Edwards is moving on.
Yeah, and you look at these things and you just go, how is this happening? On a show a few days ago, a guy was asking about, you know, all of this, and I said, you know, there's so many different avenues to kind of look at in this issue. You've got guys that jump, that want to go get more money. Okay, Eddie Lampkin made no secret about it. He wanted to go see if he can get more money. So that's why he's at Syracuse. You've got guys that are being pushed out the door. You know, you've got then guys that they're trying to figure things out. They do jump, and then they end up. I saw somebody on Twitter this morning put a great line and said, the vast majority of people that jump in the portal come out in a rec league. And I have to kind of laugh at that because it's a sad part about this. So there are many different reasons it happens. But then again, if you're going to make college athletes essentially employees, and that's where this is all going, they're ultimately going to become employees, then you can get hired and fired at will. And it's destroying. And I think I've said this on your show before. This all becoming just a minor league system, professional system, does not make it more attractive. It makes it less attractive. There are unique qualities of college athletics that made it extremely attractive and differentiated it from professional sports. And so what we're doing is destroying what made it different and making it similar but lesser. Well, it's the old line, you know, why eat hamburger when you can have steak, right? And so if all this is going to become then just a minor league, professional league, and it's not as good as the NFL or the NBA, well, then choose the NFL or NBA because it's a better quality league. And that's what bothers me about this. And listen, this is all, the bottom line in all of this, and you can go back 20 years ago when I got here and Jeremy Bloom's here and the whole fight that he had that they just kicked down the road, this is the result of an utter lack of leadership and a total failure in leadership.
Totally agree. And you know, Pandora's box has been opened, and now we're seeing the fruits of that. We're seeing the bitter fruit of all that. And I just think that when you look at, it used to be where a guy got maybe caught up in the numbers game, or maybe it ended up just not working out for whatever reason, and he would transfer. And there was the period of time of the year you'd have to sit. And now it's like, if I just don't like it, or if I feel like, hey, I had a really good season, but I can play that into an even better season and with NIL money someplace else. I did just feel like players should have the ability to move. Coaches have the ability to move. Players should too. But the guardrails need to be put in place on this, where it's just not a constant moving, you know, guys going in and out of the transfer portal. There's constant movement. Like you said, they're employees. They're not student athletes anymore. I'm always been for student athletes having some flexibility in their decision process. I don't think any of us are, and also some kind of compensation, whatever that may look like. But this is just absolutely out of control and insane now. And this is somebody that's been kind of a proponent of, hey, I'd like student athletes to have a little more say in what they do and where they play and those kind of things. But this is just, it's like I said, Mark, it's for those of us that, you know, are of a certain age, this is just, it's just out of hand. And we just, yep. I don't think we ever saw this happening 20, 25 years ago.
Well, and the thing about it is, you know, in what you said in regards to, you know, coaches are able to leave. But yes and no.
True.
And there is truth to that. I was speaking at an event here a couple of weeks ago, and as I frequently do, I take questions afterward. And although it was a message, a Christian message I was delivering, guys want to talk about sports afterward. And so we opened up this conversation, and I finally said to him, I said, okay, how many, there was probably 100 guys there. And I said, how many businessmen are in here, guys that are making deals and signing contracts? Maybe half the room stood up, or raised their hand, rather. And I said, okay, who in here is willing to go into a business deal where one side has all the leverage, all the freedom, none of the responsibility? And nobody raised their hand. But see, that's what we've done. Coaches, yes, they can leave, but there's a buyout to their contract. There are penalties involved in the contract. When we have business agreements, when you break that, there has to be some sort of penalty for breaking that agreement. And that's not the way this works right now. Student-athletes can jump anytime they want, go anywhere. You know, at least in the NFL or NBA, we got free agency periods. There is no free agency period. You just go anytime.
So anytime you want to, and, that,
right.
And that's the problem.
You leave. If you get NIL money, you leave. You don't have to pay it back. There's no penalty. So there's no responsibility on one side of the equation right now, which is why this is such a disaster. So that's why the ball is quickly rolling to the point where, okay, fine, if this is the way it's going to be, then we're going to start signing contracts. And now you've got penalties, you've got response. If you're gonna act like a big boy, you're gonna have to have penalties like a big boy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're so right about that, Mark. And like you said, and you know, coaches also have the luxury if they're going someplace, they've got boosters that'll pay that buyout, and athletes at this point don't. But that's where some kind of contract needs to happen. You're right. There needs to be some kind of repercussion. If you're going to leave, this is the price you're going to pay for your freedom.
Right.
And there's I don't see anything wrong with that or limited to you get to transfer once. That's you get your one and that's it. You get your one and that's all you get. You don't get more if you can't be Tate Martell. And let's just go from college to college to program to program.
Yes.
And you know, at some point, either make it or you don't. Either make it work where you're at or you don't. You get that one, you get your one opportunity, get your freebie, and we're done with this.
Well, yesterday when I was on in New York, they asked me, I said, should it be a red flag that Eddie Lampkin's been to 3 programs? And I said, 5 years ago, I would have said yes. Right now, that's about average.
Yeah.
I mean, guys are just jumping. I mean, you know, I did a game earlier this year where there was a guy been at 5 universities. Well, okay, you know, you're getting the point now. Okay, we understand things aren't going to work out everywhere, but you can't tell me that 5 times in 5 years it was so bad you had to leave.
Yes.
No, this what we're dealing with is the greatest example of grass is greener on the other side of the fence syndrome in the history of college athletics. I mean, this is just, it's going to be better there. It's going to be better there. Well, if you really go back, Ken and I were talking about this a while back. They began to kind of study, and their staff kind of looked at guys who were jumping, and very rarely do numbers improve or playing time improve. You are what you are. And so a guy's averaging 9 points and 7 rebounds. At one spot he goes and he's averaging 10 points and 6 rebounds. Okay, you become kind of the same player. You are what you are. And so learn to evolve and develop and make the best of your situation. Now, if there's something egregious going on, we understand that you want to get out of that. We've all been in those job situations. But this is not about that. This is just about I'm jumping for the sake of jumping.
Absolutely. And that used to never be the case. It used
right.
to be, because the penalty you had to pay was so significant
yep.
of losing a year of eligibility that you had to really think about it. And like, okay, is this really the best thing that in my best interest? Is this going to work for me? Is this going to be the best decision I make? And now, with no repercussions, it's, adios.
Yep.
I'm off to the next program.
And we've also been overstating, you know, the direness of the student-athlete. I mean, when I'm on a show and somebody brings up, they weren't eating mustard sandwiches and living in a box down by the river, okay? These kids are very well taken care of. I've never seen a student-athlete in all my years of doing this leave a school malnourished or weaker or smaller than when they got there. They eat exceptionally well. They're cared for exceptionally well. They've got money. They've got stipends. They're given clothing and on and on. Nobody is suffering as a student-athlete at a Power 5 school, for goodness sakes. That is not the case, and it's a lie from the pit of hell for people to be saying that over and over again. It's just not true.
Right. I mean, fair compensation is fine, but, I mean, when... And Caitlin Clark makes $3 million doing State Farm ads, and which, yeah. I mean, that's great. She's brought a lot of attention to women's college basketball. She deserves the accolades that that she's accumulated over the course of an incredible season. But there's a time it's like $3 million for doing endorsement work as a college athlete. That would have been unheard of.
It's crazy, insane. But you know what? At least that's NIL.
That's true.
That name, image, and likeness, contrary to what we're seeing, which is just pay for play, which is, hey, come here, we'll give you $500,000.
Which is ridiculous.
So, right. So, you know, at least what you're talking about with her is name, image, and likeness, which it was proposed that that's what it's going to be, and now it's just become, hey, we're, and which is why that court case the other day where basically it said, hey, the universities can handle NIL. Well, now we're just taking any pretense down. This is all about, we're simply going to pay you to come here. And by the way, not many programs in America could do that. This is a dire, dire moment for college athletics.
Absolutely. I mean, and there's Power 5 schools. This is going to be a struggle.
An
extreme challenge to pay athletes to come and play for them. And
which is why it's going to go to revenue sharing and unionization and all that kind of stuff, and they'll become employees, because this whole wild, wild west of let's just everyone start throwing as much money around, it's not based on merit at this point in time either. It's just based on, okay, you're there, we need you, okay, we got a bit more than that guy. Okay, they're giving us $500,000, we'll give you $600,000. And so it's really out of control.
And what if you're the backup guard on a football team that goes, well, wait a minute, this guy's getting like $450,000, and what am I getting? I'm getting nothing.
Right, and that's why, that's by the way, also why you're seeing guys leave programs, because they're looking around and going, okay, there are four or five guys that are making big money. I'm pretty darn good. I was first team all conference last year. Why am I not getting that kind of money? And so now they're jumping. And so coaches that I've talked to have said it is really, really becoming a problem within the locker room and the culture of their programs.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, with a spring game Saturday at 1 o'clock right here on the team. I guess, Mark, give us, so there's been some players hitting the portal for the Buffaloes, some players also coming in, like Deion Hayes from Pitt and Rayan Buell from Ohio, and Peyton Kirkland, who was at Texas as well, coming in on the defensive front. So there's some players coming in for Coach Prime as well. But give us kind of the lay of the land for the spring game on Saturday.
That's a great question, and I'm not even sure how to answer it, to be honest with you, because of everything you just talked about. The running back room has been decimated right now because guys are still coming in, and I think they're going to sign other guys. So I think there's going to be a little bit of thinness, if you will, in that position. For me, here's what I'm going to look at, because this whole thing is different than it used to be. We used to, you know, be able to count on 80% of the guys on the team you're going to know, and you can kind of evaluate. Now there's so much newness out there once again, it's hard to evaluate. So what am I going to look at? Okay, Pat Shurmur has now got a running start to this season, right? So I'm going to watch offense. What Shadur doing? Is that new-look offensive line? They've got a good chunk of those newcomers in there. Can they protect? Are they going to look solid in that regard? On the flip side is that defensive front. They brought in a bunch of guys there. How are they? Can they get to the quarterback? In the linebacking core, a little bit better there. What does Robert Livingston's defense look like? And so this is really a much broader evaluation time than it would be, you know, in past years where it's more specific. To me, I'm kind of looking at the broad strokes to see, because this is obviously a work in progress, because you're going to see more guys coming in. And by the way, wait till the spring games are all officially over, because that portal thing is going to blow up again, even though it's pretty hot right now. And so when the spring game's over, all of a sudden guys are realizing this is the position I'm in, or coaches are saying, oh, we need somebody better than this guy, and so they're going to push guys out, or they're going to jump, and so that's going to explode again. But for me, it's just kind of the broad strokes of seeing what is this partially completed project look like before we get to August.
Wow, that's a lot of rosters to dig through and a lot of movement. And man, there's names gonna be scratched out right before the game. You have to go on your board and scratch. Well, that guy's not playing today. And good luck, partner.
One of the SIDs told me the other day, I said, can you give me a full roster now? And he said, it's changing daily, so we're, you know, adding and subtracting. And that's not unique to Colorado. It's everywhere. And so, yeah, we'll see who shows up and what kind of roster they give us that morning. We'll figure it out, too, when we hit the air, I guess.
We know that you'll be there, and Gary will be there, right? So we know that much.
Gary and Soup are going to be there. And so we got Jeff Campbell, Gary, and yours truly, and by the way, it's supposed to have, I just saw yesterday, last night it said 100% chance of rain on Saturday.
Wow. Have a great weekend, Mark. Have fun with that.
Oh, well, you know, and Soup was going to be on the sideline. And I ran into him in a grocery store last night, and he's like, can I come sit in the booth? I said, yeah, if it's pouring, come up and sit in the booth, because you're not going to do anything down there anyway.
Yeah, so. just come up here and hang out with us. Just stay up there where it's warm.
So anyway, it's going to be an adventure, so join us from 1 to 3 on Saturday.
All right, very good. Hey, Mark, have a great weekend. Thanks so much, my friend.
All right, Jim, see you.
All right, take care. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes. Scratching names out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Be nice if he had opinion one way or the other on the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Why would I really know where he comes down.
I'm not sure. Mark, he was a little kind of wishy-washy there. Yeah. No, we very much tongue-in-cheek. We agree on most of it. I do feel like players need to have the ability to move.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be able to move once without punishment, without penalty. But there needs to be a limit to that. And compensation. True, most student athletes are they have training tables, they have tutors, mm-hmm. they are well taken care of, but there still is the time lost in when you have to travel to play, practices, time away from class, things like that. And they're players, and that's where NIL comes in. That's why they haven't handled NIL well at all. Let's be honest, this whole thing has been a mess. But I brought up the Caitlin Clark thing just because there was a time you would have never dreamed of a student athlete while they were still playing making that kind of money.
Never. Not ever.
And being in commercials and getting compensated. And NIL, I'm fine with that. But then again, what Mark brings up is, you know, part of the NIL part of the start of that where star quarterbacks got an endorsement deal with, like Shadur does with whoever, Rolex or whatever.
Yeah.
What about the rest of us? What are we getting? Or they pay, hey, we're gonna give you $500,000 to come here and play. That creates divisiveness in the locker room. There's no doubt that does. And Colorado's got their own challenges right now with that. Like everybody else. All right, 7:41. Who do we have on the team line, by the way?
George wants to weigh in on NIL.
Okay. George, how you doing?
Doing well. Hey, you can't have a one-time limit-only transfer because the essence of the holding of the court case was that the NCAA one-time transfer rule specifically violated antitrust laws. So you can't come down and say, hey, you know what, we're going to prohibit the movement of people.
We can't do it now because the horse is out of the barn. You could have at one time, though, long time ago, when before it became went to court, could have at least tried to do that. Then if it gets challenged in court, then so be it. But nobody wanted to do that back then.
No, that was the rule. They had a one-time transfer unless you graduated, and the graduation gave you a second. The rule was one time, and the graduation gave you a second. So that was the former rule, and that was in place until that court case. So that was the rule that they were operating on. That curbed it to some extent, and then at that point in time, then it was just open the gates. And, you know, open the gates and roll. So, but guys, like the college football playoff just reached a deal for $1.3 billion a year. $1.3 billion a year. Where's that money going? Like, you're telling me these athletes don't deserve a tremendous amount of that? Why does the chemistry department deserve that money? I mean, where's this $1.3 billion going?
I don't think I ever said that they don't deserve it. I think there needs... It does create a problem, though. Do you not agree in locker rooms where the haves and the have-nots? How do you address that? And you're right, maybe...
The NFL does it every day. You're worth what you're worth. If you don't like it, then, you know, then try and find a different spot. It's supply-demand. But, like, I can't sit and tell my client that's an undrafted free agent that he's going to go out and get endorsement deals is you know, the star quarterback, like you're worth what you're worth. And that's the reality of it.
But
right?
I think here's the problem that we have, though, George, is that college athletics have become, and it's been heading this way for a long time, going back to SMU, going back to the death penalty. It's been heading in this direction of it being basically minor league. It's minor league for the NBA, for the NFL. Take your pick. And that's the problem that we have now is it's become close to that. It's become so similar to the NFL, so similar to the NBA in terms of compensation, things like that, as opposed to where it used to be. Well, that's the problem with it now, where college athletics is no longer what it was once intended to be.
The only thing that changed is UC College Athletics is what it was intended to be, to whereas free money for the colleges, and now you have $1.3 billion being paid to these colleges just for the college playoff alone. And that's the difference. That's the change. The change is that it's making so much money off these young men. They're creating a $1.3 billion evaluation, and they're not getting it. I mean, I don't know, like, in what other industry do we look at people and say, good work, you created a $1.3 billion evaluation, but it's not fair that you guys get that money.
I'm not saying it's not fair. I'm saying you have to figure out a way, though, where there's compensation for everybody that plays the sport, and that's not it, there's not fair compensation right now. You have to agree that not everybody in the NFL gets paid. Everybody gets a paycheck. True? Everybody gets paid. Not everybody in college football right now gets paid. Some do, some don't at this point.
That's generally incorrect. Schools like Utah gives everyone base level $65,000.
But not everybody across the board, though, does that. Not every single institution does that.
I think the point
Every Power Five is moving to that very quickly. They do have different pay scales, but it's not uniform. So, like, Utah can pay more than Purdue, right? Like, that's just the reality. But every school does have a minimum baseline across the way. But if the guys don't like it, their remedy is I'm worth more. I can go to a different place. And
What do I tell Group of Five schools? What do I tell them? You're not worth it anymore because they're going to have a tough time making that happen?
I don't know what you tell a Group of Five school, but why do you allow, is it worth telling the Group of Five schools, you know, we want the university to take a significant amount of profits of this $1.3 billion industry and not give it to the players? They're putting their, you know, their heads on the line, their knees on the line, and doing all this stuff to make revenue so that a school has a good science department. Like, you know, I agree with one thing, and I've said this for the last 4 years. They need to go with 4 and 5 year deals with buyouts. Now, when you're a Group of Five school and your guy transfers to the Pac-12, you have a $50,000 buyout. You can take that $50,000 buyout, go give it to another person.
And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with this. And then Mark even said, have contracts and have buyouts. I don't think anybody's crapping on that idea, but that's got to happen, though, and that's not happening right now, George. That's the thing.
It's not happening, though, because the NCAA has refused to go there. And the NCAA created this issue by not being proactive in making these players go to court. So that's the issue. The NCAA totally put their head in the sand and said, we're going to bury ourselves in it, come hell or high water, and if they want to create a big problem, we'll create a big problem. But the NCAA could have been proactive and went to it.
That's what I've said years ago, though. I said that years ago. They've had their head in the sand, and they've not been willing to acknowledge the problem that was there staring them in the face, and here we are now with the situation
problem,
we have.
You're exactly right. But the problem is financially, and I'll just be real honest with you, when you classify these guys as employees, the amount of workman's comp, you want to know the amount of injury settlements that go on in an NFL and how expensive that insurance is?
Staggering.
It's astronomical. So once you get into employee land, it's going to change the entire economics, not just of college athletic departments, but of colleges around the country that have used athletics as their cash cow. And so it's just going to change everything. It's going to be really bad for non-revenue generating sports. All those things are true. But there's really it's how they came to this that has been the issue.
I think we can all agree on that. The NCAA has screwed this up. They've screwed this up massively. They could have got ahead of this years ago, and they chose not to. They chose to just sit and let's keep raking in the money. And now that it's like you said, well over $1 billion for the college football playoffs. Now we have
per year.
Per year. Now we're in a situation of, well, geez, guys are just transferring and programs are just being decimated. And the sky is falling because they allowed the sky to fall.
That's exactly right. And then they're going to sit around and say, well, this is bad. But, like, you forced it into a bad decision to say this is bad. Come help us, Congress. And Congress isn't going to get in the middle of it. Congress can't get anything done.
Now there's no way. Yeah, exactly.
There's no way Congress is going to give them an antitrust exemption.
No, nor will they should at this point in time. They made this mess, and guess what? They're not capable of fixing it because, the beast is out of the cage now. I mean, it is. I mean, it's beyond the NCAA's ability to control it. It's now the Power Five conferences. It's their show. It's their deal, and they're gonna run this the way they want to, because the NCAA's allowed them to.
Yeah, I would agree with you guys in the fact that it's bananas, but I would also say that, like, at what point do, I mean, when you have these TV deals that are $1.3 billion per year, like, are the kids worth it? Yes. Are the coaches worth it? Yeah. There's a ton of money exchanging hands per year just from TV revenue alone, not even the $250 tickets to CU's football stadium.
George, I think the thing that we can't agree on is that there needs to be compensation. It needs to be fair compensation across the board for the student athletes. True.
100%. And unionization would put in some parameters behind it.
Yeah, I think we can agree on that. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's what I've been advocating. I just think, though, it's now so it's constant turmoil all the time with the transfer portal and guys going and coming and leaving. And guys used to leave for a particularly pretty good reason. Now it doesn't. Now it's just a better opportunity, which part of me, I can't begrudge that because that's how the world works. You leave someplace to go for a different opportunity or better opportunity. I don't know. Hopefully we can come to some kind of way to make this certainly take care of student athletes the way they should be taken care of. But also restore some sense of, I don't know, sanity to the whole thing.
Agreed. One closing thought that I will leave you with is if you're recruiting people based on money and your pitch is, I'm going to give you money, and that's what's going to be creating this bond between us, and this is a true story in the agent world, there's always going to be another agent or another person out there with a bigger bag that's going to give more money and take that guy later on.
True.
So you have got to create relationships based on trust, based on a want to, based on just being a good human and relationships again. You can't make it about money.
I agree. Thanks, George. Appreciate it. Good phone call, man.
Yeah, have a go.
All right, take care. All right. So, George, has some thoughts on that today.
I think the part that gets lost is the now new, quote-unquote, unfairness between the quarterback getting $900,000 and the backup guard not getting anything is that's not new. It's now just out in the open.
Right.
Like, Reggie Bush got a house.
He did.
USC's backup guard didn't get anything. So that unfairness is still there. That bitterness is still there. SMU's $100 handshakes, same deal. All the stuff, 60s, 70s.
New Tampa, Eric Dickerson, yeah. Where are the guys on SMU didn't get
so
a squad.
Well, you know, what's the guy in the other side of the locker room going to think? Well, that's not new. They've been dealing with this the entire time.
But now they're like, I want my fair share, though.
Right.
Now it's like, because I see the money out there, mm-hmm. It's out there, I want my fair share.
And I agree with George. It's like, well, you just got to deal with it at some point, because if you go to the league, you're probably not going to be the highest paid guy in the room.
Probably not. 751. Can we do sound check here real quick? Okay, let's go ahead and do sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, the Mariners played the Rangers in Texas yesterday. Julio Rodriguez came in. No home runs on the season until the Texas Rangers TV crew said something.
He's still looking for his first home run of the season.
Uh-oh.
That's high in the air out to left. Carter will watch it fly, and he looks no longer.
I love the no sell. Just doesn't even bring up the fact that it's a home run or that he jinxed it or it was a blast. Just, oh, he looks up and then there he goes.
And it's gone.
Imagine that. All right. Well, Rangers, Mariners, blah, blah.
Just move right along.
Yeah.
Moving along. All right. 752. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Team Sports Network.